Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll be there momentarily. And today we are looking into our fourth principle on how to lead a person to Christ. And I want to begin with just a thought, just a question. And that question is this: how would you feel if when you were, you know, back in the day before we could do everything online, but perhaps you were standing in line at the utility company and you're standing there, you're waiting to pay your bill, and someone walks in, they see you, they see your bill, and without asking, they just went ahead and paid it off in full. No strings attached. How would you feel about that?
Elated,
joyful, right? You know, it always makes me chuckle a little bit when you call into one of these places and they make you answer what seems to be a million questions just to pay your bill. And I'm sitting there thinking, if somebody else is calling in to pay my bill, let them pay my bill. You don't need to know if it's me or not. If they want to pay the bill, let them pay the bill. But, you know, if someone did that, we'd be elated. We'd be over the moon.
And might ask, like, what's the catch?
Yeah, or, you know, you might ask, what's the catch? But if there was no catch, no strings attached, you'd be over the moon about it. And, you know, spiritually speaking, that's exactly what Jesus did. But there are some people around us, they just simply don't know that this bill has already been paid. They don't know that this bill has already been taken care of. And as soul winners, as those who are trying to share our faith, those who are trying to lead somebody to Christ, our job is to show them the receipt, is to show them that Jesus has already paid the bill for them. And so as a soul winner, someone who's sharing our faith, we need to demonstrate that the good news is that Jesus has already paid this price. Last week we saw the price. The wages of sin is death. That is the price. Well, now we need to show them that, okay, yes, this is what needs to happen, but Jesus has already taken care of it. Jesus has already paid this price. And so last week we looked at Romans 6:23, and not only does Romans 6:23 deal with the penalty of sin, but it also deals with the promise of salvation. And Romans overall, the book of Romans overall, shows us and shows the sinner that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. So you're there, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, and who would like to read there? Verse number 8, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Miss Martha, go ahead.
Romans 5, 8, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
All right. And so we see here, and that word commendeth, that long word there, commendeth, just simply means he proved. God proved his love, and he proved his love by going to Calvary, by dying on the cross for you and for me. And so there's several things I want us to see this morning as we think about this verse here in chapter 5 and verse 8. And the first being this: the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Go back there, if you would, Romans chapter 6. So just one page over, or depending on your Bible, maybe a page and a half. But Romans chapter 6. And notice there, if you would, verse 23, just the first part. Of verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." For the wages of sin is death. And so wages is simply just something that is earned. Again, we used the illustration last week that when you were at work and you work your work week, come Friday, you expect to wake up and in today's day and age, it's direct deposit, but you expect to wake up, open your bank account, and you expect to see that your paycheck for the week has been deposited into your account. For those that you still maybe get a paper check, that, you know, you expect come Friday or Thursday or whenever it is you get paid, that when you go into work that day, the boss or the manager, whoever it is that distributes them, they're going to have your check ready to go. And if they don't, you're going to ask them questions because you perform the work and now you want to get paid. And so the wages is something that is earned. Sin is just simply disobedience to God. When we're explaining it to kids, growing up in Philly, I took some of the child evangelism fellowship training when we were working with kids, and we were taught to teach kids what sin is, and it's just simply anything bad that we think, say, or do. Anything bad that we think, say, or do, that's what sin is, and sin is disobedience to God. God said it, and we chose not to listen. That's what sin is. And then death here in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Death, this is not just talking about a physical death. This is talking about a eternal separation from God, being eternally set apart from God for all of eternity. Look, if you would, there, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And who'd like to read there verses 14 and 15? Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Brother Kenny, go ahead.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
All right, so there we see it again. This death that Romans talks about, it's just not physical. When we go back, we read the Genesis account, and God said that today thou shalt surely die. He just wasn't talking about a physical death. But now, because of sin, there is physical death, but he was talking primarily about a spiritual death, an eternal separation from God. So we see the penalty of sin. But then secondly, this morning, we see the promise of salvation. We see the promise of salvation. You're there, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And notice the second half of verse number 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see here we have a contrast. We have a comparison between the wages, that which is earned, and a gift, that which is freely given. And eternal life, salvation, isn't achieved by works, but it is something that is received through faith and by faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done. And so we see here, the penalty is death, but the promise is that that whoever accepts the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the promise of salvation, that there is salvation found through the Lord Jesus Christ because he has paid in full the penalty that is due for sin. And then thirdly, this morning, we see the proof of God's love. We see the proof of God's love. So we see the penalty, the promise, and now thirdly, the proof. You're back there, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and let's begin. We'll begin at verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 8. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1 down through verse number 8. And this is, and actually really through verse number 11, this is what is commonly referred to as the seven results of justification. So that when you and I were justified, and that word justified just simply means just as if we had never sinned. And when we were justified, we had some results that came along with that justification. But you're there, Romans chapter 5. Notice, if you would, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And here's the key, verse number 8. But God commendeth, or proved, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So again, that word commendeth means simply he demonstrated, or he proved his love for us. And we see very quickly that Jesus, he didn't die for perfect people. He didn't die for those who had no need of a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, we see here, he died for sinners. He died for those who needed him the most. And as we think about the cross of Christ, that is God's I love you to the world. There was no greater way that he could have shown his love than by the cross of Calvary. You know, you think about giving somebody a wrapped gift. Well, if you give somebody that gift and they never open it, well, do they enjoy the benefit of that gift? No, because if it stays wrapped and it stays in a closet or it stays on a shelf somewhere, then they can't enjoy it. They may have taken it, but they didn't really receive it. And eternal life is available, but many just haven't unwrapped it because they don't know that it's already been paid for. They think that it's something they have to earn. They think that it's something that they have to pay for. Or you think about a courtroom and somebody being sentenced. Well, you know, that judge must give the sentence. He must make his ruling. But then all of a sudden, the judge, he steps down from the bench. He takes off his robe. And then the judge, he pays the fine himself. Well, Jesus is both just and justifier. He doesn't overlook our sin, but he did pay for our sin. And so, what do we do with this truth then? What do we do with this truth of our of salvation already being paid in full? Well, there's three other things that I want to give you this morning. Number one, lead with the good news, not guilt. Lead with the good news, not guilt. Listen, don't just point out sin, right? It's very easy to go up to somebody and say, you know, you're a sinner. And you need to be saved or you're going to go to hell. Who's going to listen to us if we do that, right? And listen, yes, they need to know that if they reject Jesus, hell awaits them. They need to know that. But don't just go up to them and say, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, give some context to, oh, no, what?
Rose did that.
Oh, no. Did you go on to explain?
I've come to all my pay bills and posting.
Yeah.
But my freshman year of college, I went with a missionary, and a group of us went to New York City to set up Bible clubs and stuff and help the missionary out. And he decided one Saturday afternoon that he was going to teach us door-to-door evangelism. And I was so nervous that I went to the door, and I was supposed to say, do you have assurance of heaven tonight?
Yeah.
If you should die. But when she answered the door, I panicked and I said, you know you're going to die tonight and go straight to hell?
Oh, no.
She freaked out. He was a tall drink of water, so he stepped over the railing and took over and saved it. And I went to the van and started crying. And he said, well, don't cry. She'll be the only one that was scared there.
That's right. That's right. Oh my soul. Well, that's all right. That was nerves kicking in. That wasn't intentionally there, but you know, point them to the Savior, right? Point them to Jesus. Point them to the one. We saw it Wednesday night, right? Jesus doesn't just give problems, right? He gives the problem or he gives the condemnation, but then he gives the solution. And so, yes, point out the sin, point out the problem, but then point to the Savior. Make it clear that the debt is real, but so is the payment. But then secondly, not only that, but then use Romans 6:23 as that gospel bridge. Use Romans 6:23 as that gospel bridge. Because Romans 6:23, when you read that verse again, and you're there actually, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it gives both the bad news, sin and death, and it gives the good news. It gives gift and life. And so use that verse as that gospel bridge to talk to people.
And so you can say to someone, do you want the good news first or the bad news first?
Exactly.
You can turn this around.
Exactly. There you go. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, you know, last night, Manny and I were talking about something, and she used the phrase, more than one way to skin a cat. That's the truth. More than one way to present that verse. But use it. You know, use it as that bridge to, because the ultimate goal is to get them to the good news. But you got to get them over that bridge first. And so use that verse as that bridge. And then thirdly, and finally, memorize and meditate. Memorize and meditate on Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Meditate and memorize on Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so this verse does several things. Number one, it builds compassion. If Christ loved sinners, then so should we. If Christ loved people, we need to love people too. And remember, soul winning. When we go out and we're sharing Jesus with somebody, ultimately it's about sharing love. It's about sharing the love of God. It's not about winning an argument. I remember one time we were out on street evangelism, and it was raining that day or snowing or something. And so we would usually go two blocks this way from the church. You had one subway station, and then two blocks this way, you had the other subway station. So we would go up, we would alternate each week. And so this week we were up at Broad and Snyder, and we were down in the subway, and we were handing out gospel tracts and John and Romans and inviting people to church. And I was still fairly, you know, green and still, you know, didn't really have all the answers necessarily that I could, you know, defend the faith that great. And so this guy came out, and he was coming out of the train and getting ready to leave the station. And I went to hand him a track or whatever. And he says, oh, no, I'm good. And he turns out he was an atheist or something along those lines. And so he stood there and, you know, wanted to have a discussion. So I was having the discussion best I could. And I just felt myself because I knew I was right. You know, I knew I was right. But, you know, he was just, you know, trying to talk in circles and everything else. And so it had gotten past the point of trying to share the love of Christ with him. And I wanted to basically just win the argument. I wanted to just, you know, prove him wrong to prove me right. And that was the wrong way to go about it. And so we need to remember that soul winning is sharing love and not winning an argument. And so Jesus, and this is the good news for us, Jesus has already done the hard part. He paid the full price with his own blood. And our role is to show people the receipt through Scripture, starting with Romans. That's why we call it the Romans Road. And as a soul winner, those who are trying to point people to the cross, we have to realize that's just all we are. We're signposts. You know, you're like when you're driving down the highway, you see signposts pointing you to your direction. That's what we are. We're just signposts pointing people to Calvary. And so here's the challenge for us this week. Number one, pray for three people in your life who are unsaved. Pray for those who do not know Christ as their Savior. Then practice sharing Romans 6:23 and Romans 5:8 aloud to someone at home or here at the church. You know, we have some time after the Sunday morning service or Wednesday night before church or whatever the case may be. Take some time and practice sharing Romans 6:23 and Romans 5:8. And then thirdly, once you have all that done, ask the Lord to help you present the gospel to at least one person this week using these two verses. Use a track or your own words, but keep it focused on the gift. And here's the key reminder. Don't just tell people they need salvation, right? I don't know about you, but I'm more of a visual person. I learn a lot more by seeing today, more so than I do reading anymore. And so we need to show them that salvation has already been provided. We need to show them that salvation has been paid in full. And it has been paid in full by Jesus. And all they have to do is accept the gift. Let's pray.